We'd like to welcome anyone who has not been here before. If you've not been here before, please raise your hand. You don't stand or make any announcements. We just want to acknowledge you. There's a welcome packet out in the foyer. If you're interested in learning more about us, you're welcome to the packet. You can also talk to any of us that you see in the leadership role if you have any questions about what happened today, what took place today. I want to talk about two words found in John 16:33. Take heart. Let's look at six times take heart was mentioned in the Bible. These words were spoken to the desperate, the bold, the fearful, the overwhelmed, the weary, and the believers. What does Jesus say when we are desperate to find him? Some men brought to him a paralyzed man, lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." What does Jesus say when our boldness causes us to go against social norms? Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. What does Jesus say when we feel afraid for our lives? But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." What does Jesus say when we are overcome with life's events and we are afraid to look upon our Savior and Lord? "For they saw him and were terrified, but immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.'" What should we tell someone who is weary? And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." What does Jesus say when we feel we live in a world of evil? "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus knew his apostles would have trouble, and he worried for them. This is why Jesus told them to take heart, and why I wanted to focus on John 16:33. The Greek word for take heart is tharseo. Webster defines embolden as instilled with boldness, courage, or resolution. In the New Testament, take heart is used to indicate unflinching courage in the face of adversity. Let's look how we can be instilled with unflinching courage. Let's study the key points from John 16:33. Jesus is telling us we can act with courage and confidence. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Because we have hope in Christ, we should also have joy and peace. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are encouraged to trust in the power of God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised, because God has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. First Corinthians 16:13 tells us, "Be on alert, stand firm in faith, be men of courage, be strong." Being men and women of courage and confidence doesn't mean we have to move the mountains. God asked us to believe he will move them. Matthew 17:20, he replied, "Because you have so little faith." Another way to look at that first part of the passage is to change faith to confidence. "Because you lack confidence. Truly, I tell you, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." God is not asking us to have a mountain of faith. God is asking us to believe he will answer our prayers and move the mountains for us. In the Old Testament, courage and confidence are applied to individuals called to fulfill God's promises. Joshua 1:9 provides us with an example from the Old Testament where God calls on Joshua to be courageous and confident. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God asked Joshua a question. "Have I not commanded you?" Let's look at what God commanded Joshua to do. God commanded Joshua to lead the people into the promised land after the death of Moses. In Joshua 1:2, he said, "My servant Moses is dead. Get ready now. You and all the people of Israel, cross the Jordan River into the land that I am giving you." God commanded Joshua to remain faithful. In Joshua 1:7, "Do not turn to the right or left." God commanded Joshua to obey the laws given him. Joshua 1:7, "Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you." Finally, God commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous because God would be with him. Today, we can take courage and confidence in God's presence, not because we obey all of God's commands, but because Christ has already paid the price for our sins. In the New Testament, courage and confidence refer to those who withstand persecution. 1 Peter 3:14 helps us understand this. "But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation. And do not be troubled." Courage and confidence arise when we understand God is in control and we are faithful to his promises. Joy and peace are not just emotions mentioned in the Bible. They are rooted in our relationship with God. They are gifts from our faith and trust in God's promises. They come about because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter in times of need. We have joy and peace through our faith in Jesus Christ. We have joy and peace through our faith in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:19-20 makes clear, "We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor for our soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf." Jesus provides us with joy and peace because his blood allows us to approach God directly. I remember graduating from high school. I looked for a job for several months. I did everything I thought I could possibly do to find a job, but nothing seemed to work. Finally, one night, I was overcome with anger, and in my anger, I threw my problems at the feet of God and told him, "Fine, you want this? You got it." Although I remember vividly the words I spoke, I'm not proud of my response. But even in my anger, God was faithful to me. The next day, I was called for an interview. Let me say that again. The very next day, I was called for an interview. I don't even know how this company got my name or number. You have to realize, 40 some years ago, 50 years ago, it wasn't like today. I don't even remember applying for a job at this company. Even more amazing, I had a job by the end of the week. I don't think I even had the faith of a mustard seed. I only had anger, but God still answered me. Like Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:9, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make me rely not on myself, but on God, who raises from the dead. I felt overwhelmed with no place to turn, but God put me in that place so that I would stop relying on myself and look to him who raises from the dead. Each of us can find our faith when we focus on the character of God, not on our daily struggles. God knows and loves us personally and intimately. We can know God in the same manner when we turn to him in our times of need. We find our hope by grounding our lives in the promises of God. God knows our story and reminds us of this from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. As we focus on our problems, we tend to turn inward and push God away. But Romans 15:13 tells us we can only find hope when we trust in God. As we trust in God, our hope will become so great that it will overflow in everything we do. Paul tells us the way to patience is to rejoice in hope when we suffer. The Bible defines patience as suffering, enduring, or waiting, as a determination of the will and not simply under necessity. So I'd like to say that again. The Bible defines patience as suffering, enduring, or waiting, as a determination of our will and not simply under necessity. Paul is telling us faith and hope isn't something to wish for, but something to strive for. Patience isn't something that occurs overnight, but is a response to the hope God has given us in the name of his Son. We gain patience when we wait for God's response through constant prayer. Our hope is fixed in the hope of Jesus Christ because our Savior paid the full price. I wish I could say I trust God in all things. I'd love to be able to say that. I'm sorry, but the truth is, sometimes I can't help but trying to help God with my problems. During my 24-year AGR career, my primary AOC, or area of concentration, was 70 kilo, which med log. I knew 2020 was my last realistic opportunity to make 06 or colonel, full colonel. I prayed that a med log officer would be promoted because I wanted God to be glorified. I believe God answered my prayers because a 70 kilo was promoted. The problem was, I tried to help God make the right choice, me. As my promotion aboard approached, I talked to officers I trusted, and I was given the advice that I needed to change my primary AOC to operations because it would broaden my chances, and so I did. I was confident God answers prayer, I am confident that God answers prayers because a 70 kilo did get promoted. In fact, they redid the board because the president of the board said a 70 kilo must be selected. And they removed an officer who had already been selected so they could fill it with that 70 kilo. It just wasn't me. Because according to the board, I was no longer a 70 kilo. I later found out the board only looked at those officers with a primary AOC of 70 kilo, which I had changed less than 2 months before the board and took myself out of consideration. Maybe I would have been selected if I hadn't tried to help God. I'll never know. But I will say this, even when I tried to help God, God knew better, because everything worked out better than I could have ever hoped for. If I had been promoted, I would not have, my last assignment would not have been at Fort Dix, which means I probably wouldn't have been home during Shelley's cancer recovery. I believe it worked out better than I could have ever hoped. I simply want to bring to your attention, trust is built through trials. And I can honestly say, I trust Jesus more today than I did before 2020. It is through the word that our trust grows. Romans 10:17 states, so faith cometh from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Our hearts are open to the faithfulness, and our trust in God increases when we search the scriptures. We see this again in Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. The Bible mentions numerous times, God is faithful. This doesn't mean bad things won't happen to us. As we walk by faith, we are reminded to trust in God's faithfulness. Hebrews 10:23 reminds us, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. For such few words, 2 Corinthians 5:7 packs a powerful message. In the beginning of chapter 5, Paul tells us how he longs to be with Christ in heaven. But when we are in this earthly body, we have to make choices. Either we live by faith or we live by sight. Either we live as if we have no reward in heaven, or live for the reward promised. As I study this verse, I came away with three takeaways. Don't focus on what the world has to offer, as it is fleeting. Keep your heart open to God's promises. Remind yourself of what is true. Faith is inherently about trusting what is not visible. But as Paul tells us, we are called to live by faith while we remain on this earth, because we have a greater home promised us As Jesus reminded us in John 16:33, there will be difficult seasons, but take heart. Only by faith will we find the confidence to be filled with the peace offered by hope found in God. When we trust in something, we want to share it with the world. I trust my Honda Ridgeline. I trust it to do what it was intended to do. Because I trust it, I share my trust with others. If I can trust in a thing made by man that still breaks down, how much more will I trust in the power of the Holy Spirit? If I trust in the Holy Spirit, how much more will I share the good news? Romans 10:14 provides us the perfect reason to share what we believe. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching them or to them? Simply stated, the more we trust, the more we share. The more we share, the more we trust. Finally, fear touches every aspect of a believer's life. It hinders us from studying God's word. We fear we don't understand, and we may never. Fear causes us to forget what God has done for us. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness 40 years because they forgot what God had done for them. Fear prevents us from walking by faith. I put my faith in what I see and touch is what the world wants us to believe. This is why Jesus tells his apostles to take heart so they can overcome fear. I encourage all of us to remember, we have victory because Jesus overcame the world. We need to recognize we alone cannot accomplish what God has called us to be. How many of you heard the slogan, hard work pays off in the end? This is what the world tells us. Don't show any pain, weakness, or vulnerability, and just push through. Paul writes to the Corinth church and tells them about his own weaknesses. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient to you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul recognizes our weakness shows the power of God. It is a reminder that God's grace will carry us in times of need. We need to pray for God's guidance in all things. Prayer is mentioned over 800 times in the Bible. It is a right we have as believers, but one we often struggle with. Holding back anything from God means we stand opposed to God. We must surrender everything, even our fear. There are many things we do that God doesn't need. He doesn't need our money, but he asks us to give back. God doesn't need our worship, but he provides us with ways to worship him. God doesn't need our prayers, but the blood of Christ provides us with an opportunity to approach the very person of God in prayer. God did this because he knows we need prayer. Prayer is an anchor for us during our journey on earth. Paul in Philippians 4:6 tells us, not to be anxious, but to pray about everything. Jesus provides us with examples of prayers. Jesus prayed by himself, Matthew 26:39. He prayed with others, Luke 9:28. And he prayed that God's will be done, Luke 22:42. Prayer is the best tool a Christian has and is vital to our well-being. It is time where we put away our worldly cares and open our hearts and align our minds to God's will more closely. We seek God's guidance for our lives. We attune ourselves to the will of our Father because we spend time with him. Let us seek to keep our mind and heart open to what God is doing in our lives. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah is writing to the exiles captive in Babylon. Jeremiah is telling them, although they turn from God, God is still with them, even in exile. God has a plan for them, and if they repent and seek him, they will find him. I encourage you to seek the peace that comes from knowing God. I find the most peace when I let God be in control. Jesus replied, love your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, Matthew 22:37. Fear must be replaced with something. I encourage each of us to live our lives with love, because 1 John 4:18 tells us, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Fear and love cannot coexist. Either we fear or we love, but we cannot do both. In closing, take heart is a message of encouragement. It conveys to the believers, even in trials and despair, we can take courage in the strength of Jesus who went before us. It is a reminder that God empowers us through his grace and inspires believers to remain steadfast in their faith. It brings the sinner closer to God. Take heart is more than accepting something that happens in our lives. It is an active, ongoing response to our fears and concerns. As I stated in Joshua, God is commanding us to have courage and be strong because God is with us and we have an enduring hope. If today you feel desperate, not as bold as you want to be, are fearful, overwhelmed, or weary, as believers, Christ is telling us to take heart. If you would like to know the peace and comfort Jesus offers, I ask you to come forward while we stand and sing.